Good morning and welcome to ASI Radio's Tuesday morning show, where some of ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products and more. I am running the show today. I'm Joe Haley.
God
because we have a whole team out of the ASI show in San Diego. A little later, Andy Cohen will be checking in. But we have an eclectic mix here in the studio. First of all, we have the diva of Supplier Global Resource, Michelle Bell. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm emailing with Andy, and he just sent me a really funny assessment of our colleagues that I'll share with you later.
Very good. How are your cats, Michelle?
One was ill yesterday. Monkey Bell was a little under the weather, but he's better now.
He's better now. Joining us in the studio today is Chris Ruvo. He's a staff writer for Stitches Magazine, Wearables Magazine, all the magazines. He writes for everything. He has his own blog online where he writes about apparel. Chris, how are you today?
Joe, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm terrific. How was your weekend?
It was great other than the Union's performance.
Okay. And for the Union you're talking about?
The Philadelphia Union, our soccer team.
Our fighting Union. Okay. Yeah. Also joining us today is, now first of all, first question is, how long have you been with us, Jen?
2.5 years.
Okay. How many times have I gotten your last name correct?
0.
Okay. So joining us in studio, Advantage's staff writer, Jen Vizhnevsky.
Ding, ding, ding.
How do you not say Vizhnevsky?
I don't know. It's just like it reads. He can't read.
It's phonetic, you know?
I don't know.
It's a doozy.
Hey, I'm rocking the sound effects today. That's two, and we're what, 1 minute into the show? Is Kirk the Rooster Thomas? All right, there's three. I'm going to get my hash marks going right now so I don't forget. And also, answering your phone calls is Facebook Vinny Driscoll. So if you want to talk to us and you want to speak to Vinny, give us a call at 215-953-4979. And if we put you on the air, you're going to get a $25 Visa gift card. Today we're taking calls on what's the best way to fix a client's order gone wrong. So if you have a problem, you want our advice, give us a call. Or if you have some advice or some ideas you want to let everyone else know about, please ring us up at 215-953-4979. But before we go any further, we're going to get a lineup of today's show from Michelle Bell.
Yep. Well, as you said, Joe, Andy's going to call and give us an update from the ASI San Diego show. Chris is going to talk about do businesses know what their clients really want? We'll find out if they do. Jen's got some news from the U.S. Postal Service as far as their direct mail initiatives targeting small businesses. I'm going to talk about 6 brands that have come back from the dead. Chris is going to address ways to engage your customer. And then, of course, we have our favorite things as always. But first, we have Andy Cohen on the phone, I believe.
On line 2, Andy calling in from beautiful, sunny San Diego. How are you, Andy? All the lasers that's number 4, and it's rather loud.
And rather esoteric.
Yes. Andy, are you there? Yellow Andy.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. How you doing?
I'm good. All right. How are you?
Well, I'm terrific. First of all, how's the weather?
You know what? It is beautiful. Like every single day in San Diego, it's 75 degrees and sunny.
And you have nice big windows that you can see outside while you're inside, right?
Yes. Just not at the convention center.
All right. So convention
center. In my hotel room now.
Oh, well, good morning.
Good morning, sunshine.
Okay. So today's the first day exhibit. Yesterday was Education Day. Can you give us a little recap of what went on yesterday?
Yeah, absolutely. Education Day was great. It was very busy. There were 40% more distributors here than there were last year. So it was a really busy day, but Tim had a launch session that was focused on niche markets to sell to, and he had a great panel, and there was a bunch of other things going on. I even had a session, Joe.
Now, what was your session on, Andy?
My session was a supplier session. It was kind of a secrets to supplier success type of session. So I had 3 panelists, one from Tri Mountain and another from Worldwide, and another from Logomark, and we just batted around some great ideas, and it was a lot of fun.
And it was well attended, I'm assuming, because you were the host.
Well, you know, if my name's on it, Joe, there's going to be quite the attraction. So yes, it was well attended.
Now, were there any events last night?
There were not any official events.
Okay, what about unofficial?
Well, there were plenty of unofficial events. Yeah, now we got some dinner and a couple drinks, so all was good.
So yesterday morning, a reporter from KUSI stopped by the show and
That's
gave
right.
three live spots with Dave Vagnoni, even though he had three opportunities to get his name right. Each time he got it wrong.
I know how he feels.
Seems to be a theme today.
Well, it's the V last word, yeah. Name. So if anyone wants to see that, we can you can certainly go to ASICentral.com or you can go to YouTube.com/ASICentral to see it. So, Andy, what's on tap for today? Exhibits open today.
Yep, we got exhibits opening at 9:30 West Coast time today, so that's a little bit from now. And there's a Michael J. Fox keynote tomorrow that everybody is looking forward to. So that's something to certainly check out. And if you're in the area, definitely come check it out.
When's the gala?
The gala is tonight.
And are you going to the gala?
I'm not. I am going to the San Diego Padres game, which is a barn burner.
Are you going to take a rickshaw?
You know, I've seen lots of rickshaws, Michelle, and I always think of you.
Oh, that's special. That's special. All right, so then we got Michael J. Fox tomorrow morning. You got the gala tonight. You got exhibits open today and tomorrow. So what are you most looking forward to?
Wow, Joe, that's a good question. I guess I am most looking forward to exhibits opening. That should be good. I think it's going to be a good show. And, you know, of course, the Padres game, because anytime you can see the Padres play the Kansas City Royals in a preseason game, you
can right.
see.
Well, you know, Andy, do us a favor. Have a beer for us. Have a hot dog for us.
I will. Okay, I'll do that.
And cheer your loudest.
Does that mean I have to have a hot dog for each of you?
Yes.
Okay, Jennifer says yes. I don't care.
Bring the tubs.
You can have whatever you want. Well, Andy, thanks a lot for checking in with us. We will be looking later on today for a report in Promogram and some video coverage on ASI Central and YouTube as well.
That's right. Packed Promogram with coverage from Education Day yesterday.
Very good.
Well, thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
Thanks,
see
Andy. Have a safe trip back.
All right, thanks.
All right, that's our field reporter, Andy Cohen. Reporting live from the ASI show in San Diego. Okay, here we go. We're going to go to our telephone lines. We are talking about what's the best way to fix a client's order gone wrong. And we're going to start on line one with Amber. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm in a pickle, so I'm a little upset right now.
Okay. Well, don't get upset. Don't worry about those pickles. What's going on? Tell us your problem.
All right. Well, the deal is I just heard from the supplier that I'm using for my client's order, and it turns out that the item that we're going to use is out of stock, and I didn't know that, so, you know, I had my client under the impression that everything was fine. So I'm wondering how I can tell this to my client without, you know, ruining the relationship.
I think you should give them options. You should, you know, it always takes kind of the sting out of giving bad news when you say, listen, here's what's going to happen, but here are three ways we can handle it. You tell me which way will work best for you. Somebody in the industry, Bonnie Sandy, actually, from DARD, told me one time that that's the way that she deals with clients when she has to deliver bad news. She delivers the bad news, but then always gives them three options as far as, you know, a way to solve the problem.
You know, and if your client's reasonable, I'm sure they're going to understand that sometimes things will go out of stock. So it's like Michelle said, when you give them the options. The other thing you might want to do is looking forward is double check those types of things, especially if it's a good client and it's a sizable order. You don't want to quote something or go and say, I can definitely do this, and then find out later that it is, in fact, out of stock. So, you know, do your homework on the front end, and that will, you know, help you on the back end.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Well, Amber, stay on the line. Vinny's going to get your information. We're going to get you out a Visa gift card. On line four, we have one of our regular callers, Stanley, calling in from California. Stanley, how are you today?
Hey, very good. And I want to say good morning to Jen Vizhnevsky, you know.
Thank you. Perfect.
Ouch. Yeah. Stanley, now, are you stopping by the show today?
Possibly so. We've got two client events up in Los Angeles, so I'm going to see if I can get down there, but it's so close, it's almost tragic not to. So, absolutely, we're going to be making our efforts to get down there today.
Okay, what's on your mind today?
Well, you know, it's funny, one thing that Amber was talking about, one thing that, that I've learned to deal with over the years is to deal with vendors that have deep inventory, and when it comes to an item, definitely to call and check those inventories, you know, and let my client know I'm going to check the inventory. This is a critical item. But the reason I was calling in today was because I've got an issue right now where I'm dealing with a logo that was imprinted on an item, and it's distorted, partly because of the shape of the item, but, you know, it was imprinted in the wrong area. And I wanted to get your take on, because I've learned over the years that it seems like the best way to take care of these things is definitely not get upset. Like, you have to treat the vendor very politely and very calm and very rationally, and I find that, that they do respond. But my question is, what do you do when the vendor is being unreasonable or when the vendor's standards of excellence really isn't up to par? What do you do?
Stanley, I would say that there are a few things. First, I would definitely, if you're having a hard time dealing with your point person, I would circumvent them. I always go right to the top. That's just my theory. Just kind of go around the customer service person and ask to talk to their manager or the owner of the company. The other thing you can do that I think not enough people use as a tool is to rate them and write comments in ESP. As far as if somebody's giving a lackluster performance or not up to par. And of course, you know, Stanley, you are, you know a lot of people. You certainly are out there with a wide network of people. I mean, you know, start telling people that this supplier is maybe not the best to deal with.
And find a new one.
Yep.
I mean, you always have that option.
Gotcha. Well, that's the easy option. To always, you know, speak with your feet, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, you know. And you give them a second chance, and if they can't come through the second time, then, you know, you definitely should be walking away. So, you know.
Yeah, if it's a consistent problem, if it's a one-time thing, then I wouldn't sever the relationship over that. But if it's a consistent ongoing problem, maybe it's time to move on.
You know, what I found, too, is that a lot of suppliers, and Michelle, you speak to, you know, everyone, but, you know, they're willing to fix mistakes. Because they want just as much as the distributor wants to keep their end buyer clients happy, the supplier wants to keep their distributor clients happy too. Because, you know, you can be a small manufacturer in, you know, the suburbs of Philadelphia, but without the distributor network, you wouldn't have that reach throughout the whole country. So it's important that they're going to keep you happy. So I think that if you talk it to them, hopefully, you know, they're going to fix the problem, and if not, like Chris says, talk with your feet.
Stanley, let me ask you this. I mean, do you use the same suppliers all the time, or are you using newer, different suppliers that maybe you don't have the same kind of relationship with?
A lot of times I use the same suppliers, but every so often you try a new supplier that you see at the show.
Mm-hmm.
I actually remember going back over 20 years, and I'll never forget this, that I had a real problem with, I mean, this order that I'm having is a smaller order, but I had a problem that was like a five-figure order. I mean, it was well over $15,000, and I had a real problem. And I called, I remember meeting Norm Cohen, and this is how I first established a relationship with him, and I reached out to Norm to help me solve this problem, and he called the vendor and helped me out, and I'll never forget that because it not only solidified a better relationship with the vendor, but it was just I just saw what Norm Cohen was all about. Like, he really was hands on, and I always appreciated that.
Well, that's great to hear. I would like to think though that suppliers would kind of rise to the occasion without somebody intervening on your behalf.
But I think what it speaks to is what a close-knit industry this certainly is, and is that, you know, there's a lot of friendly competitors, even though Norman is certainly not a distributor, but I mean, there's such good friendships in this relationship that I think people will go to bat for other people here and make sure that everyone's happy at the end. All right, Stanley, thanks for your call. Hopefully you get an opportunity to get down to San Diego there. If you do, tell all the editors that are in attendance to behave themselves, but stay on the line. Vinny's going to get your information.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Stanley. And we have one more call on line three. We have Ann. Good morning, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
Terrific. How are you?
Oh, great. Except.
Except. Okay.
Well, due to a perfect storm of circumstances, I'm afraid, one of my best clients' orders got really screwed up. How can I fix this mess and keep them as a client?
Well, you got to bite the bullet. You got to tell them what happened. You know, this is what happened. You know, unfortunately, this happened, and we're sorry for it. But, you know, we're going to do whatever we need to do to make it right. And hopefully they're reasonable and that you can, you know, change the situation and turn it into a positive.
I think in that case, you're just going to have to make some concessions. You're going to have to give them, you know, maybe a discount on the next order, or you're going to have to take them out for lunch or dinners. I mean, you're going to have to do a little bit more work to fix that.
It's like you said before, too, it's probably pretty important to come with mm-hmm. some specific suggestions for solutions right off the bat, and kind of just not lay yourself at their mercy, but just acknowledge right away that, you know, that it's your fault and that you're doing everything you can to make it better.
Well, one of the things that Ann said is that, you know, this is one of her best clients. So, I mean, that you have to do a look at, too. If this happens with other clients, it's like, are they worth the extra effort? I mean, all clients should be worth the effort to save and fix problems, but are they worth that extra effort?
Mm-hmm. We have a caller or somebody who sent in an email suggestion that might help Ann's situation. He said he had a mishandled order the other day. This is from Don Michael Gordon from Safeguard. The vendor did not communicate that they were discontinuing an item. They did fix the problem. They gave him a different option, a different product, he said, but the most important thing, they didn't pick up the phone. They actually went to see him in person to explain the problem.
That's
and
incredible.
I think that goes a long way.
That's mm-hmm. incredible.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So your customer service, get in your car, drive over there, say, hey, I'm sorry. Well, this is how we're going to fix it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that if you have that good relationship with them, there's going to be some understanding. If they're just looking for price, and they're probably not, because if they've been a client of yours for a while, they're not just interested in price. Mm-hmm. They're going to understand that, and everything's going to work out just fine, Ann.
Okay, great.
All right, stay on the line. Vinny's going to get your information, but before he does that, he's going to go to line one where we have Nicole. Nicole.
Hello, how are you guys today?
We're good. How are you? How can we help you?
Well, I was calling because I'm working with a decorator for an apparel order, and they are unfortunately really slow. So my client needs the shirts by a certain date, and I'm just trying to figure out, now I have to tell them it's going to be a couple of days later, but I think I can still make the deadline. But I didn't know if I should, like, try to do something extra now in case, because I think it's going to turn into future orders as well. So I'm just trying to see, do I try to kind of, like, get ahead of it and offer, like, a discount or do something nice, or just pray that I get it by the, you know, their enhanced date?
Well, you might want to be up front with the client and let them know that there's a little bit of slow stitching there if it's with an embroiderer or whatever the, you know, decorator's, you know, case is. If it's running a little slow, let them know that in advance, and maybe they'll take partial shipment ahead of time and then with the balance on the due date. But, you know, I don't think I would just cross my fingers
and
hope that, you know, this thing comes in. In the future, too, if you're subcontracting this out, there are ways to go about finding, you know, who's got more heads, who's going to be able to do this quicker, you know, who's reliable. And I know, Chris, we write about this stuff often in Stitches magazine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are shops that specialize in they make it their business to do rush orders, and generally these are going to be your larger contract shops who are looking to partner and work with distributors as opposed to selling directly to end users as well. And you want to kind of look for a shop like that because they're going to generally be bigger and have those faster production times that you're looking for and be able to crank out things and get it on time.
And then you can find those resources online at stitches.com. We have a lot of different resources that show you where the contract shops are, what they actually do. So maybe in the future that'll help you. But with this order right now, I would talk to the vendor first, see what they're able to do, where they are, you know, what the real deadline looks like, and then talk to your client, you know, and hopefully they're understanding, and then you can work through this.
Yeah, I'm going to do that because, I mean, I think what they're telling me now is that they can definitely do it. Before it was you're definitely going to do it. So now it's kind of like you're a little bit behind. I need to make sure you're on target. Mm-hmm. So I think I will, instead of just doing my local vendor's decorator, definitely try to look at Stitches. Mm-hmm. But thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome, Nicole.
All right, you have a good day.
Stay on the line. Vinny's going to get your information, and we're going to go to line two right now where Joe's on the line. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. My question is about when a supplier mess up the order. In my instance, I had a confirmed price and delivery time. And after I went back to a customer with that and confirmed everything, the next thing I get is that they had a new person working there, and they didn't know that this order will require more time, and actually the cost that they quoted me was wrong. At that time, I, you know, told them that I'd already confirmed this with the customer, the time, the price. At what point do you pursue any type of concessions with the supplier? I mean, I try to reemphasize this with them, and one question I would say, ask them was, well, you know, what can you do in this situation? And they told me, well, you know, the person was new, and, you know, that this wasn't the cost, nor would they be able to do it within that time frame. And I was kind of at a point where I could not look for another supplier to do this, so I was kind of in a bind with them on this.
Now, I understand you obviously didn't have time to go to someplace else. Again, what I would say is that none of this was incumbent upon you to fix it. They should have. It's
right.
Regardless that the person's new. That's not your fault, nor is it your problem.
I think they should have honored that, whatever they quoted mm-hmm. him as, just as a one-time only thing if they wanted to keep his business going forward.
Absolutely. And if they did not, which it sounds like they didn't, again, and perhaps I'm just a word that rhymes with itch, but I would have gone to the person.
Straight up to the top.
I would have gone right to the top, and I would have made a comment on that person's ESP site.
Yeah, if you have the all the order details, I mean, I've never heard of anyone who wouldn't honor it. I think that's just a situation where you should go straight to the top, like Michelle said, and make your status known.
Especially if the price was quoted.
Right.
I mean, I bought a TV once that they forgot to take the sale sticker off, mm-hmm. and the sale was over by a week, and they had to honor that
right,
price.
Yeah.
I just locked
that's
into
customer
it.
Customer service.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully their supplier is going to do right, and they should eat the cost.
Even the guy I spoke to was the vice president. Hmm. And, you know, I asked him about that. I said, what could y'all do as far as a rush order? And he was, you know, I don't, you know, think we can do this order in that time that you wanted it in. You know, and I understand for them it was first time using them. It wasn't a small order, but it wasn't, I guess, an order where they felt that at that point, if they lose it, you know, it would be a big deal. But because of my time period, I think they also realized that I couldn't get it done anywhere else now.
Well, that's arrogant.
Never work with them again.
If it was me and that was the circumstances and this is a good client, I'm going to keep the client happy. I'm going to eat the cost. I'm going to say what Michelle said. Go to ESP. Handle it there, you know, by putting a comment in there and never use a supplier again. I mean, if they're unreasonable – and something where they messed up, and they're going to put your, you know, feet to the fire and say, oh, well, you know, you have no other option. You have to go with us. Keep the client happy, and then deal with the supplier on
there
the back end and just, like, see you.
Make a stink. Post it on your Facebook page. Post something on their Facebook page.
All right. Well, Joe, thanks. Hopefully we helped you with that. Vinny's going to get your information. And before we do anything else, we are going to hear from today's sponsor, AIA.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized, individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
And we are back. Before we move on to our next topic, there was something that was Facebooked to us from Darwin Stacker, and he asked about what happens when an order goes wrong, even though everything you did was what the client wanted. So it was the product that they wanted, the logo, everything was fine, but someone on that client's team comes in at the end and doesn't like the product. Mm. And he goes, what approach would you take? And go ahead, Michelle.
I would perhaps give them a nice logoed bag of STFU. Just saying.
And I think that actually is a concern, though, where, you know, the person who's doing the buying might not, you know, be up at the highest part of the, you know, ladder, and someone up there says, oh, I don't like this, even though everything was done. Now it puts them in a bind, and then they're going to, you know, try and get something from the distributor, whether it's a new product or concessions on that. So, you know.
That's a completely different situation, though. If truly no one did anything wrong, that's not like the other
right.
instances.
Right. Oh, no, I know. But
and I don't think that distributors nor suppliers should make
concessions
right. in that instance.
So, it's an interesting situation that I'm sure does come up, you know.
I don't know. Maybe one of the things you could do to try to head that situation off before it happens is when you're talking directly with the buyer, you maybe you want to make sure that on their end they're communicating everything that they need to the person who they have to impress, or even better, get that person above them that they need to impress in on these meetings with you and get them to check off on things, mm-hmm. you know, before it even gets to that point. I know that's not always possible, but maybe that's one approach that you could take.
I think there's a polite way to say, you know, let's make sure that everything was approved on the front end. Like, yeah. You don't necessarily want to be in that situation where there's that oversight being made. But going forward, you can say, oh, you know, I just want to double check and make sure that everyone has approved this on your end. So mm-hmm. at least there you're safeguarding.
You know, someone near and dear to my heart was in a situation this past holiday season to find logo products for their companies, and they wanted four different products. So people in the organization had a choice what they wanted to get. And four different, you know, items, and they went through a top 25 suppliers catalog. And they found some good stuff. But, of course, with a company of 150 people, not everyone was happy. Mm-hmm. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. One person saw the first item on the list, wanted nothing to do with it, pushed the papers aside. And when the products came in, they had nothing on a spreadsheet, said this person was getting anything. And this person said, I didn't want that because I already had that. Well, what about the three other products? She was so annoyed. So, I mean, those are the types of things. I mean, you know, what do you do?
And perhaps she would have liked the logoed bag of
SD. Yes. Perhaps. All right. We're done with this topic. Now we're going to move over to Chris. Do businesses know what their clients want? That's a good question.
So, spoiler alert, no, they don't. 90% of the time, most businesses do not know what their customers top values are. And since we're low on time, I'll just give you the Reader's Digest version of it. Most customers are not interested in buying just a, quote, product, because you can get product from a lot of different sources. What they want is you to bring something different to the table and add value to them. They're buying from you and the service that you can offer them. So find out what differentiates you and what you can offer specially to your customers and run with that. Another thing that businesses are bad at and should improve at is that they don't understand that existing customers and prospects have different values, and that you should emphasize different things to each. So, for example, a prospective customer, you know, they're not going to value, say, your help desk most because they haven't used your help desk yet, whereas existing customers might have that as a top thing that you do for them. So find out what's important to each sect and go with it. And then one other thing you might want to consider doing is investing in some customer research, because there's no better way to find out what your customers want than to ask them.
Oh, I agree, and I don't think enough people do that. I mean, you should send a little survey, a post-follow-up survey after you've fulfilled an order.
It doesn't have to be real expensive. Simple things like that, or a little online survey on your website, you know, it can make it quick and easy.
And then send them with a little gift and say, you know, if you fill this out, we're going to send you a little gift, mm-hmm. which would not be Michelle's bag of. All right, thanks, Chris. All right, Jennifer.
Joseph. Okay.
The USPS aims direct mail deals at small business. USPS would be U.S. Postal Service.
So if you've seen the news lately, the Postal Service is not doing so well. And one of these kind of initiatives they're taking is launching a marketing campaign promoting their program called Every Door Direct Mail. It's geared towards small businesses. It's providing a shipping service with postage rates at 15 cents. So it's a great deal. And one of the other aspects of it is it provides you a web tool that helps you gear towards what areas you want to target. One other aspect that's launching in mid-April this month is for slightly larger businesses. It's called Click and Ship, and that will be geared towards medium-sized businesses that ship more pieces a day. And one other thing I wanted to mention about this Postal Service initiative is now there's a revision taking place in mailing standards that was filed that's going to allow commercial mailers to print logos, trademarks, brand images, and marketing designs on specific parts of the mail. So that's been outlawed previously, and now this is going to be a great opportunity to brand and advertise on specific mail pieces. So it's definitely something to look into if you want to save the Postal Service and save some money too.
Yo, I'm a fan of direct mail pieces.
So am I.
When you come home, and I'm sorry, it's like you're a kid, you go in the mailbox, there's a little box here, or there's a big bulky envelope. Ooh, what's in here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I like it. All right, thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome, Joseph.
All right, now we're going to get to Michelle's favorite part of the radio show, where editors talk about their favorite things. And we're going to start with Michelle. Go ahead, Michelle.
Okay, you can go to our website and see this. It's asicentral.com/radio. This is from American Apparel, and it is a dog hoodie, because nothing amuses me more than pets and people close. And this little dog has a hoodie on. Actually, the dog in this photo is Dove Charney's dog, and his name is not surprisingly, head case.
Well, my friends, the McCluskeys, have a little dog, and they do have one of those American Apparel hoodies.
It's adorable. So it comes in a variety of colors, and it's perfect for vets and pet sitters and all sorts of stuff. And it's got a little pocket and a little zipper.
That's
it's
really
just so cute.
Put treats in it.
Look at her.
Why are you giving me the
look
crazy
at her.
Face?
All right, Jennifer, what do you have for us today?
So I have a bag from Darkstar. It is a duffel bag that's also – it's kind of geared towards executives because it looks professional, so you can still keep all of your business things in. But it has zippered pouches, you know, to keep your sweaty clothes from touching your laptop, which I think is great. I think it's a really sleek-looking bag, and it's ASI 48503.
All right, and finally, Christopher.
So Michelle and I didn't coordinate this, but it just so happens that I have an American Apparel product too. It's a unisex shawl collar rugby shirt, super hip looking, something that you'd pick up in the mall and wear on a night out, but also very comfortable. It's great for any kind of promotion that's targeting a fashion forward audience, and as I say, available from American Apparel. 35297.
And you certainly like rocking your shawl collar sweater.
I am a little hip in
keep
that regard.
In your own mind. Okay, well, we are out of time for today. Thanks a lot for everyone who called in. Thanks to today's show sponsored AIA. Tune in next week when the whole crew will be back from San Diego, and we'll be coming back at you 10:30 East Coast time. Thanks.